You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, in the wake of intense flaring from the LNG Canada facility in Kitimat, residents have approached the District of Kitimat Council about writing a letter of support calling on the government of BC to conduct an independent cumulative health assessment of LNG development in BC and the potential impact to Kitimat residents. Although several other municipal councils, including Terrace, Hazelton, and Squamish, have already sent letters, Kitimat Council voted down a motion to send a letter of their own, citing a high level of regulation that already oversees LNG production in BC. In Kitimat last month, Sea to Sky, an organization based in Squamish who are concerned about an LNG facility being built there, presented to Kitimat residents about invisible pollution that has been blanketing the community since the LNG Canada facility went into operation almost 2 years ago. Following a presentation at the Mount Elizabeth Theatre in Kitimat about why an assessment is warranted, I spoke with Jerry Leibel, a Kitimat City Councillor, about what he's hearing from the community and why he and other council members are supportive of the community-led effort to initiate an accumulative health assessment in Kitimat.
I mean, the reference to Michelle and myself kind of being the leading protagonist when it comes to this interesting point that was brought about the medical study is that something we've asked for on a number of occasions, and it was earlier in February when it first came up that we first sort of started discussing that. And there was two parts to the motion. The first part, which was to ask the province for that study, was denied by council. The second part was a motion from me about reaching out to Squamish and saying that we'd be willing to share our experiences, both good and bad, with the community ahead of their ahead of the project starting with in their community.
I guess, Jerry, you know, it sounds like this has been a long-term issue with council. You know, there were many discussions, many meetings with LNG Canada, talks about the flaring and the emissions, never mind other impacts. And it seems like now it's come to a head only after the fact that people in your community are breathing this in now. You know, what responsibility lands on your other colleagues, council members, to actually see this done? Because it sounds like it's a pretty basic baseline understanding of what is coming into the airshed and what your community is breathing in.
Yeah, and this was right from the beginning of our tenure. And Michelle and myself, Councillor Martins and myself, really calling on council to support hiring a biologist on staff to give us independently verified information. And our attempts to have a biologist hired on staff were denied by council every time. So the council relies a lot on information that's provided by subject matter experts. And while that's great, it's always, we have felt that it's very, very important to have independent consultants to come in to study the potential effects of this on not only our the health of our community, but also the health of our environment.
Just the last thing for you, Jerry. You know, there was one speaker this evening who is a nurse in town, Ankar. It sounds like he's been writing council, trying to push this forward. It sounds like he'll be at council soon again. What is your hope and what is your message to your other fellow councillors to actually see this move forward?
I'm kind of hoping that based on the reaction of tonight's presentation and the town hall, that our other councillors really start to consider how important and to kind of go along with the other four municipalities that have decided, is to look at this and that realizes this is a this is beneficial for our community. It's beneficial for our workforce that's down there. In terms of our responsibility as council towards our community, for me, it's much of a no-brainer. I really think that approaching the province and asking them to do this is part of their responsibility to ensure the health of our communities.
All right, thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Last week at Kitimat Council, Ankur Patel, a registered nurse in Kitimat, presented a delegation to Kitimat Council asking them to support a motion to call on the government of BC to launch a health study of the potential impacts of LNG on residents in Kitimat. The motion was ultimately defeated and did not pass. I spoke with Ankur Patel following the meeting.
The ask was for a cumulative health impact assessment. You know, you look at Kitimat, we're home to the largest private investment in the history of Canada, tune of $40 billion. This comes in the form of LNG Canada, where we're doing liquefaction of methane, right? And LNG Canada, it doesn't sit on its own. It cannot exist in Kitimat without the fracking that occurs in Dawson Creek or the pipeline that runs across our province. So there's a cumulative understanding that needs to occur, right? Because we're not fracking in Kitimat, we're fracking in other communities, and we're seeing benefits from that. So the ask was for a full picture assessment of the LNG industry across the province, and this has been supported by the communities on the other end. So really, we're the last piece of the picture if we're willing to support our fellow community members and also understand what's happening in our community, right? So as you mentioned, yeah, there have been issues with the flare. The process isn't exactly going as intended to prevent backburn. We're flaring more, and because of that, we're seeing cracks in some of the equipment. And we know that the process isn't going as intended. So at the very least, you could kind of have some curiosity about that. How could that be impacting your community? How could this be impacting my fellow residents? And that's the thought process I wanted to bring into that council meeting, you know. I've had discussions with community members and fellow residents of Kitimat. And what I brought forward is what I'm hearing, and this is also aligning with what they're saying in the council meetings. I'm sharing that community members feel concerned. Some community members are reporting that they're feeling different impacts during these peak flaring times when we know that they're flaring over their permits as well. And really, that was the question that I brought to council. I said very explicitly on multiple occasions, actually, I asked council, are you willing to ask about the health of your residents and residents across this province? We can profit from this industry, but we also have to be willing to ask questions, see any possible impacts in our community and in these fellow communities which are asking into their residents, right?
This is not your first time going in front of council, but it also sounds like there are other communities that have signed on to this to see this assessment done. So tell me a bit about what other communities have signed on to this, and why do you think they did that?
Absolutely. And I think there's quite a few good answers to this question. I mean, first of all, when you look at what's happening in our province and federally, you can see that there is, you know, a rapid expansion for industry. The world is in a very interesting time right now. We're seeing more need for boosting our economy and safeguarding our resources, which I absolutely commend. We need to respond to shifts in geopolitical action. But what we're doing is we're responding quite rapidly, and we're allowing systems to move forward, perhaps before we can fully examine them, before we can fully understand the whole system picture. And that kind of gets to the heart of a cumulative impact assessment. So when you're discussing other communities that have been asking for this, we're already seeing four within our province. We're seeing Dawson Creek, Hazelton, Squamish, and Terrace, which shares an airshed with Kitimat, actually. But so when you look at Dawson Creek, this is where we're doing our fracking. This is where we're extracting our methane through unconventional gas disruption. So we're using chemicals and high pressurized water to break up the ground. And we're seeing studies which are starting to look at the impacts in this region. And, you know, when you look at benzene exposure or exposure to carcinogens, cancer-causing agents, they're seeing higher amounts in this community. So, you know, what happened in Dawson Creek is healthcare professionals and community members went to council, as I just did yesterday. They went to their council, and they asked for a cumulative health impact assessment. They asked about the health of their residents and residents across the chain of LNG, and that's what they got. Their council was willing to ask about the health of their residents. So that's where we're fracking. That's where Kitimat sources its methane. When we need to discuss how we bring this methane to Kitimat, we're looking at the CGL pipeline, right? And the CGL pipeline, we know that it crosses many communities and has a quite a heavy impact on the indigenous populations as well. We know about the Wet'suwet'en and Gitxsan response. But when we look at Hazelton, another community that signed on to this, this impacted their community. You know, this project amassed 59 warnings, 13 stop work orders. So the Hazelton community, healthcare professionals and community members, they went to their council, as I did yesterday, and they asked them, are you willing to ask about the health of the residents? And the Hazelton Council was totally on board. They were willing to ask the question. Now, you repeat the same patterns for Squamish and Terrace. And it makes you think, okay, well, I'm in Kitimat. I'm home to the largest private investment in the history of Canada. At the very least, my council would be interested in looking into this. You know, at a previous council meeting, they purported themselves as watchdogs of industry. You know, the new kid on the block, something new is in town. Let's keep a good eye on it. But when I asked them to keep an eye on it, they're voting it down 4-2 in opposition.
Okay, we're on to Council Level, item 7.1.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a motion which staff have, and I'll lead out that motion. But I'd like to propose that the District of Kitimat provide a letter of support to the health officers of BC's request for an independent, comprehensive health impacts assessment of the BC gas industry, including cumulative impacts from fracking, processing, transportation, export, and combustion emissions. And further, that the province ensure the assessment is adequately resourced and informed by Indigenous communities and health researchers and health researchers and healthcare professionals.
Is there a seconder?
I'll second.
Okay, seconded. Speak to it.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Again, to my previous point, even the slightest incidence of health related to any perceived, we saw the whole the legal battle around SO2 in our community, which led to the creation of the Kitimat Airship Group, which you speak of. This is just really asking the province. We ask the BC Energy Regulator to protect our community, and I think asking the province to look into this. We are at the epicenter. We are at the front of LNG development in this province, and I think my point earlier this year when we spoke about that sharing information is we get to share the good and the not so good, and we can't keep denying that there are some not so good elements to this, and by being open and by getting the province to look into this. I really believe that we not only future-proof our community, but other communities as well that are considering the LNG development. I'm frequently said I'm not against any kind of development. However, I am against developments that are done irresponsibly and without the checks and balances that we need to protect our community and the health of our community. So Councillor Martin's point earlier that this is probably not going to go anywhere, I still think it's important that this be brought forward and that this be on the record for this council going forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Feldhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Speaking in opposition to this motion, I believe our province is very well served by the various ministries and regulations. They're among the most strictest Canada, if not globally. Just last week, Bonnie Henry came up with something new on restricting or making more difficult, make people more aware of consumption of alcohol and putting warning signs. We don't have a problem with under regulation in our province. I think that we are provincial. Ministries and politicians are very much in tune with both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal and the health criteria. It's reflected in the very strong demands that are put on LNG Canada in terms of flaring. And and the flaring is less than, is more strict than just about anywhere else on the planet. I cannot support this. I'm satisfied with the level of oversight done by the province, and I don't see the need for this at this point in time. Given our extremely good AQHI measurements we have in our community, and our many monitoring that we have, and I believe we have a responsive industry, be it Rio Tinto with their issues on the SO2, and be it also with their issues on the calcining coke. That's where you see the smoke quite often, not so much from LNG, but you see from the calciner. We don't need more regulation. I think we're very well regulated in this province, so I would speak against the motion.
Councilor Martins, and myself,
thank you. I have been the council rep assigned to sit on the Kitimat Airshed Group for several years, and this is my first year as its chair. While I most definitely see the value in that group and the work it does, every group experiences setbacks, and there are things that I find problematic about the monitoring that I'd like to highlight for the public's benefit. First, the monitors are owned by Rio Tinto, and the monitoring is done through a company called Trinity that is hired by Rio Tinto. While the Kitimat Airshed Group relays data collected by the monitors and had some influence when the monitors were established, the Kitimat Airshed Group has no ownership or authority over these monitors. Individual monitors have experienced glitches at times when they weren't working properly, and one monitor in particular took years to get power to it. Personally, I think it would be more ethical if the Kitimat Airshed Group or the district was responsible for the monitors. But the fact that industry controls and has the most access to something that's supposed to act as a check and balance for them, I think that's problematic to say the least. In recent messaging put out by the Kitimat Airshed Group, the group quoted the 2021 BC Lung Foundation State of the Air Report, which noted even at low levels, health impacts increase incrementally as levels of pollution increase. And what I find disconcerting about the discussions had at this table is the prevailing attitude that because the results are showing, on the monitors indicate clean air, that will always be the case. And that's not so. I'm less concerned about what the monitors are showing now and more concerned about long-term cumulative effects that are still unforeseen at this point. What will our air quality be like in 10, 15, 20 years time? Predictive modeling has its shortcomings, and we've seen that with the noise and visuals associated with flaring. What came to be was different than what was anticipated. Also, it's important to note that these monitors only account for specific emissions, not all emissions associated with industry that are harmful to human health. And technology is continually advancing. What is considered high-tech and robust today will become outdated as time goes on. And I've experienced this firsthand as a summer student at Rio Tinto. Every summer I returned, I was given a different kind of respirator. And while I appreciated that my safety was being improved upon each year, I couldn't help but wonder, what did I breathe in the previous summer that I shouldn't have? And now the respirators used on site are completely different than what was given to me 15, 20 years ago. Wanting to know for certain how industry affects human health isn't anti-industry or anti-capitalist. It's our due diligence as a council. An example of this can be seen in the contrast between how our council treated Amy Klobuchar when she presented to our council the research she was endeavoring to do as part of her work towards her PhD, which is an academic achievement most people don't accomplish, versus how she was received by Haisla Nation Council. This council tore a strip off of Amy and discouraged her research. Haisla supported and advertised her research, encouraging participation from their membership. And that doesn't make Haisla less supportive of LNG Canada. Make no mistake, if Haisla did not support LNG Canada, it would not exist, or at the very least, it would not have come to fruition the way it did and as fast as it did. I see a constant apprehension from the majority of this council to examine the drawbacks of industry, whether it pertains to health effects, environmental impacts, gender disparity, or other social issues exacerbated by large-scale industry, and constantly sweeping the less desirable aspects of industry Under the RUM fails our community in the long run. Asking for a health assessment does not halt industry, it improves upon it. It makes sure what is happening is safe for workers and residents. And given that Kitimat is no stranger to industry-related illnesses, aluminum and pulp and paper production both have carcinogenics associated with them, we should be spearheading this ask, not standing in the way of other communities who have expressed concern. Thank you.
So we're also speaking against the motion, but we are one of the most highly regulated and highest sampling of our air quality anywhere on Earth. And it's because we do have these industries here. And that's why we have more air monitors than almost any other community in BC. I do support the Kitimat Airshed Group. If they were coming to us and saying, hey, they have some serious issues here, then I would be a lot more inclined to support this. But my belief is that the reasons you have some of these other communities, Hazleton and Terrace, et cetera, because they don't have the information we have. They haven't had the presentations that we've had of just how clean our air quality is. And so for that reason, no, I can't stand to support this right now, knowing all of the regulations that any industry is under, not just the LNG industry. They are extremely highly monitored, they are regulated, and they are sampled. And of course, the air quality monitors, the air monitors, they are continually, have to be calibrated and to make sure that the readings we're getting are accurate. And that is done. So I can speak against this motion.
You know, as a resident of Kitimat, it's pretty nice living here, but you have to question when industry is flaring more, when we don't particularly measure all contaminants like benzene routinely in all our air quality locations across Kitimat. At the very least, it should inspire curiosity. You should be willing to ask a question and be a watchdog, right? And what's particular to note is they mentioned the Kitimat Airshed Group. They mentioned their report. And the report generally noted that there aren't very many issues in the community. And, you know, everything would be pretty safe for our residents. But what's so fascinating is that the chair of the Kitimat Airshed Group, the exact group that they used to state that we don't need to look into this, the chair of their group is on council. The chair of this group seconded this motion. So when you're citing a group that you say is stating that we have no health impacts in our community, but their chair is making a motion and wanting to look into this, that seems pretty dichotomous to me. I don't see how you can hold those two truths evident.
Yeah. There's more that we could go into on that, but at a later date. Ankar, I know this is an ongoing issue. Obviously, there were some images that were shown that there's a lot of invisible pollution that has been occurring from the LNG Canada plant that can't be seen with the naked eye, but with some, you know, specific camera equipment, you can see there's hot stacks, that there's pollution entering into that airshed all the time. So this is clearly ongoing 24/7 for the residents of Kitimat. And you did mention the air quality monitoring, which sometimes doesn't pick up that type of pollution. So obviously this is happening right now. There are other communities, as you mentioned, Hazleton, Squamish, that could possibly see some level of this. Squamish, they're building an LNG plant down there at the moment. Hazleton is concerned. Some people there are concerned about a potential pipeline going to the Sea Lissoms up in the Nass Valley. But right now this is happening in Kitimat. So what's the next step for you and some of your colleagues wanting to actually dig into what the health effects, if there are any, happening in Kitimat at the moment?
Absolutely. I mean, if our council members aren't willing to ask the province about the health of our residents, this relies on residents in the community to examine this and look into this. And there's a few routes of action that community members can take. I mean, you mentioned Squamish, and we can take them as an example. Squamish is quite literally crowdfunding using citizen science to get a BTEX monitor. That's benzene, toluene, ethylbenzene, xylene. And BTEX is a group of carcinogens, cancer-causing agents, which are known to come from the flaring industry. So the citizens themselves are wanting to monitor this. If the government isn't wanting to look, then the citizens will make them look. They will gather this data themselves. And, you know, that's one option for members in the community. But, you know, you could also connect with independent or university researchers and get a chance to look at it this way. If Kitimat isn't willing to sign on to a provincial assessment, if we're not willing to support our fellow communities and ourselves, then you have to look to other sources to perhaps examine impacts in the region, right? So there's a few answers, but I truly believe that none as effective if our elected officials were willing to look into this.
Okay, Ankar, we'll leave it there for now. I'm sure there's lots more we could talk about, but thanks so much for your insight, and we will stay in touch on this issue.
Absolutely. Thank you for chatting. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.